Will the Falcons be at the front of the line for Lamar Jackson? We'll talk about if that's a real possibility, and we'll also talk about why that would be a very bad plan for this Falcons regime on today's Locked On Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and, of course, the most humble host that has ever existed. And, of course, I'm the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And, guys, we thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube, and you'll get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And make sure you check out Locked On Falcons as part of Locked On Sports Atlanta on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Locked On Sports Atlanta is an app on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And, guys, I want to give you guys a shout out for all of you watching on YouTube that have hit that subscribe button. We have crossed over 4,000, but, you know, let's keep the ball rolling, 4,000 subscribers, that is, and try to get over 5,000. Let's see, you know, if you guys can hammer that subscribe button as well. Smash that like button, as they say here on these YouTube streets. So today's episode, we'll be talking a lot more about Lamar Jackson, because given that the Ravens lost on Sunday night, and there's going to be a lot of speculation over the coming weeks about the Falcons and other teams going after Lamar Jackson this offseason as he played his last down with the Baltimore Ravens. And that will be one of the big stories of this offseason. And then we've touched upon this before on the podcast, but in lieu of later this week, we're going to be talking extensively about the Falcons quarterback situation, looking back at the 2022 season and breaking down that position group. You know, we could have touched upon this Lamar Jackson, but this is not a 5-minute conversation that would be part of that 30-minute episode. This is, you know, a whole episode. And frankly, like, I'm going to be condensing this episode down as much as I can. This is probably like a whole 2-hour podcast that we're going to try our best to condense down to 30 minutes. But to answer the question, you know, to me, the overarching point of today's episode is, for me, if the question is, should the Falcons go for Lamar Jackson, I would say the answer is no. Now, if you're asking, will the Falcons go after Lamar Jackson? To me, that answer is maybe. And a lot of this stems from something Ben Albright, who covers the Broncos and is an NFL insider, tweeting out last night that he expects the Falcons to be at the front of the line for Lamar Jackson. And I know Ben Albright. I've talked with him several times over the years. So, you know, I don't think this is, you know, some sort of inside source or anything. I think this is more dot connecting and speculation on the part. And I think a lot of that stems from the fact that the Falcons were all in, you know, they're at the front of the line for Deshaun Watson last year. So why wouldn't they be at the front of the line for Lamar Jackson? To me, that makes sense when you're connecting those dots. I would expect several teams that were, quote unquote, looking at or all in on Deshaun Watson last year, like the Falcons, like the Saints, like the Panthers, if Lamar Jackson were to come available this offseason, to sort of be in that conversation for Jackson this offseason. You probably could be joined by teams like the Jets, maybe the Dolphins, maybe the Raiders, maybe the Titans, etc. And I think what makes the Falcons unique, though, in this situation is how much cap space they have, right? Because a big part of the Lamar Jackson conversation is going to be giving him the contract extension that the Ravens don't want to get to. We'll talk a little bit more later about that whole situation and how that breaks down. But unlike some of these other teams that we're talking about, the Falcons have a whole buttload, is the technical term for how much cap space they have, right? You look at overthecap.com, they're projected that even, you know, after they cut Marcus Mariota this offseason, you know, the Falcons will be roughly $69 million underneath the projected $225 million salary cap in 2023. And several of those other teams are over the cap, like the Saints, the Panthers, and the Jets. Now, several of those teams could wind up, you know, moving money around, cutting players and whatnot, but they're probably still only going to get to a figure that's only half of what the Falcons are going to be starting out with this offseason. So when you're dot connecting and speculating about landing points for Lamar Jackson, should he become available this offseason, the Falcons are an obvious candidate. And so we will continue to hear people connecting the Falcons to Lamar Jackson. Now, again, from that perspective, will the Falcons go after Lamar Jackson? And, you know, we'll touch upon this a little bit later, but, you know, there are several steps that need to happen in order for Lamar to become quote unquote free for a team like Atlanta to go after him. But I do think it is definitely a possibility that the Falcons will go after Lamar Jackson this offseason. Basically, what I learned from them going after Deshaun Watson last year is you can't really put anything past this regime in terms of what they will or won't do, right? Now, again, to me, the more interesting conversation, at least for me, at least, and maybe for it's different for you guys, is should they go after Lamar Jackson? And right, and to me, the answer is no. And it goes back to a conversation that we never had during those, what, 5 or 6 days where the Falcons were, you know, at the front of the line going after Deshaun Watson last year, because that basically came out of nowhere, right? And we never really had the opportunity to truly wrap our head around it. It was basically like, I, you know, for me at least, it was like, I guess we're doing this and I guess we'll figure out how this works later, right? But, you know, it's been 9 months since then. And, you know, I've had plenty of time now to sort of wrap my head around it. And, you know, we'll talk about some of the reasons why, you know, what I have, the conclusions I've reached as we continue today's episode and why I don't think it makes a lot of sense for the Falcons to go after Lamar Jackson. But it kind of dances around a conversation that we've been having since, you know, I wouldn't say day one of this regime, this Arthur Smith, Terry Fontenot regime showing up, but pretty early in the process, you know, a few months into their tenure. Which is there a plan, right? Are they just making this up as they go? And certainly I think their interest in Watson last year signaled that they are. And certainly I think if they have interest in Lamar Jackson, it would also be a strong indicator that there has been never been a grand plan. And like so many teams in this league, and again, this is not necessarily inherently a horrible thing, but as most teams are in this league, they're just kind of making it up as they go because the NFL often stands for not for long. And I think that would be when we talk about the reasons why the Falcons may make the move, which we won't go too deep on today's episode, but that's will be the driving factor behind it is, you know, they're sort of looking, they're counting their days, so to speak. They feel like there's pressure in this not for long league to win now. And so that would be the driving force between why the Falcons would go after Lamar Jackson, but we'll continue today's episode talking about why they shouldn't go after Lamar Jackson, or at least I'll make the case that I would make for why, to me, the move doesn't make a ton of sense as we continue today's episode. But I want to tell you about Prize Picks, a fun new way to play daily fantasy. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It takes less than a minute to enter. And the great thing about Prize Picks is you're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections, and they have projections on the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college sports, and so much more. Prize Picks is safe, it's fast, it's easy. It's currently in operation in over 30 states in the U.S. and Canada. And all you got to do to play is download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up. And first-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That means if you deposit $100, Prize Picks is going to give you $100 to play with. So don't forget that promo code Locked On at sign up for that instant deposit match up to $100. Now, when I talk about the reasons why, guys, you know, I would not think it's a good plan for the Falcons to trade it all for Lamar Jackson, it's two main bullet points, right? The first one is the assets that they would have to give up, I think, would be detrimental to this team's long-term success. And the second one is the price tag that the Falcons would have to pay Lamar Jackson, I think, would be detrimental to this team's long-term success. right? And so for the first one, you know, I think the expectation would be that you're going to have to give up a similar price tag of what the Cleveland Browns gave up for Deshaun Watson, given that Watson was 26 when they traded for him. Lamar Jackson will be 26 this offseason. And if you're, you know, if we're taking off our Falcons colored glasses and putting on our Ravens colored glasses, and I'm sure we'd look great in purple, you know, you would, if you were in the Ravens situation, why would you take less than what the Texans got for Deshaun Watson? And the Browns gave up five assets, three of which were first round picks. And I think that's a basic assumption that everybody should be making for what the price tag would be to pry Lamar Jackson away from the Baltimore Ravens, should they be saying, come get him. And of course, the other two assets for the Browns were a third and fourth round pick. You know, whether those other two assets would be seconds and thirds and fourths, whatever, any combination of that. But we know at a minimum, three out of those five assets will be first round picks. I think is a pretty safe assumption to make. And I think I don't need to go too deep on why trading away three first round picks would be detrimental to this team's long term success in terms of building up the rest of the roster. But, you know, you're losing significant assets, significantly cheap assets to help your football team. You're not getting any more A.J. Terrells or Kyle Pitts or Drake Londons or, you know, Julio Jones or Roddy Whites, et cetera, anymore, right? Including, you know, potential pass rushers that we want. Now, the other factor is the price tag. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about this when we talk later about why Lamar Jackson hasn't signed with the Ravens, but essentially, and this is not just my opinion, guys, this is the opinion expressed by, you know, people that are in the know, the Joe Coreys of the world, who is a former NFL agent, writes for CBS Sports, has the Inside the Cap, as well as several other quote-unquote insiders in the NFL. But essentially, the number one reason why the Ravens have not signed Lamar Jackson at this point in time is because Lamar wants, similar to Deshaun Watson, a fully guaranteed contract. Right, we know Watson signed a five-year, $230 million deal. The Ravens were reportedly offering Lamar Jackson a five-year, $250 million deal, but only about 130 of that was guaranteed at signing. And from what it sounds like, Lamar Jackson wants a five-year, $250 million deal. That's $250 million guaranteed at signing. Now, what's interesting about the Brown situation is they paid that number to Deshaun Watson. It was their godfather offer, an offer he couldn't refuse. Because they got out of the bidding war for him. We'll circle back to that point a little bit later when we talk about, you know, Lamar Jackson trying to get that fully guaranteed contract and the pathway that he can get for that. But certainly if you're the team giving up all these assets to Lamar Jackson, you're going to, you know, if you're willing to give up three first round picks, you also, you know, the least of your worries, relatively speaking, is going to be acquiescing to his, like, you're not going to give up those assets unless you agree to his contract. And unless Lamar Jackson is basically willing to take a discount just for the sake of getting out of Baltimore, which is a possibility, but in all likelihood, he's going to still want that money. And he'll have the leverage at that point in time to want all that money, that fully guaranteed $250 million contract. Now, we know, or at least I know, and you guys probably know that, you know, I'm notorious for being the salary cap is a lie guy. And so what that means is not to say that the salary cap doesn't exist, not to sit here and say that the salary cap is not an obstacle or hurdle that needs to be overcome. It is more to say that it can be massaged and manipulated in ways that make it a lot more manageable, right? However, I think the amount of massaging that you would have to do paying that type of price tag to you, you know, and how it would impact the rest of your roster would be probably too much massaging, right? You know, people, and I know we're talking about Deshaun Watson, we shouldn't bring up massaging, but, you know, the jokes write themselves. But, you know, I think it would, you know, not to make light of that, guys, but it's just like, you know, it's insert joke here, insert, you know, off color joke, whatever. But like, it's too much massaging is basically what I'm trying to get to. You know, I think the price is exorbitant is basically the point I'm trying to make, to the point where it's too much to massage. And because we've talked about this before when it comes to the impact of, you know, quarterback price tag on team success. And we've talked about this before going back to when the new CBA was signed back in 2011. You look at the teams, no team has won a Super Bowl paying more than 13% of their salary cap to a player. Right. You look at Eli Manning, the highest figure in that period of time, In 2011, he was averaging about $16 million a year. That was about 13.5% of the salary cap back then, right? Tom Brady won Super Bowl in 2016. He was averaging over $20 million a year. That was about 13.2%. Now, there is one exception, but it's an asterisk beside it's a technicality, right? You look at last year's Super Bowl winner. That was Matt Stafford. His contract that he signed with the Detroit Lions was averaging about $27 million. And that technically was about 14.8% of last year's salary cap. However, of course, because he was traded to the Rams and not signed by the Rams, right? The Rams only absorbed the last 2 years of his contract and only the base salaries. And so they were only really paying him $43 million over 2 years, which at $21.5 million a year was only about 11.8% of the salary cap. Now, I'm not sitting here to say that it's impossible for a team to pay their quarterback more than 13% of the salary cap and win a Super Bowl. We've seen several teams lose a Super Bowl that were paying more than that. We've seen several teams lose conference championship games that were paying more than that. And all we know that, you know, a couple of breaks here or there, and those teams potentially are winning the Super Bowl, right? And certainly this year we could have that team that does it, right? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, if the Cowboys, Bills, or Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, they will be the first team to have a quarterback making more than 13% of the salary cap win a Super Bowl. However, if the Eagles, 49ers, Bengals, Bucks, Jaguars, or Giants win the Super Bowl this year, that streak will continue. And when we look at $50 million a year, presumably of what Lamar Jackson's price tag would be, and look at the projected caps in future years over the cap to come, you know, projected cap in 2023 is $225 million, $50 million, about 22%. 2024 cap is projected at $256 million. That's a little shy of 20%. 2025 cap is $282 million. That's a little shy of 18%. 2026, the cap of $308 million. That's a little more than 16%, right? In order for a $50 million contract to be 13% or less of the cap, you would need the salary cap to be $370 million. Now, I certainly think one day in the future, we will get to a salary cap of $370 million, but I don't think that's, you know, right around the corner. You know, we might be 4 or 5 years away from that, certainly, depending on what, you know, this new TV money that comes in, how much that pushes the salary cap up. But we're a couple of years away from, you know, where a $50 million quarterback presumably is going to be a worthwhile investment for a football team. And, you know, this goes back to a conversation we were having towards the end of Matt Ryan's tenure, where we were looking at Matt Ryan's contract and talking about, you know, is Matt Ryan the problem? And it's like, no, Matt Ryan's not the problem. The problem is the team around him is not good enough. But is Matt Ryan's contract prohibiting you from putting a better team around him? And the answer was, yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, not 100% on Matt Ryan, but it's contributing factor, right? And you look at Matt Ryan, once he signed that $30 million contract extension in 2018, he's making, you know, on average in those last 4 years that he was here in Atlanta, about 16% of the Falcons salary cap. And now you're potentially devoting more than that to Lamar Jackson over the next couple of years. And then you compare that to what they would be paying to Desmond Ridder over the next 3 years, who's going to be making less than 1% of the salary cap, guys. And that 15% difference between Desmond Ridder and Matt Ryan, or nearly 20% difference between Desmond Ridder and Lamar Jackson, is 15 to 20% of your salary cap, guys. We're talking $40, $50 million, guys, that you can now devote in putting and fixing the problem, right? Which was building up the rest of the roster, building up that offensive line, building up, adding those weapons, building up a defense. And that, to me, is the smart plan. And what's interesting to me is that at least when you listen to what Arthur Smith and company have said since they've been here, that seems to be their stated goal. But, you know, this whole Watson situation, which is part of the reason why people like myself assume that was, you know, above the regime when it came, you know, Arthur Blank, essentially, if you're not catching what I'm putting down, Arthur Blank was sort of the one that was pushing for the Watson thing. That doesn't absolve Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot of, you know, culpability, responsibility, et cetera, in that situation. They signed off on it. It wasn't like Arthur Blank, you know, pulled a John Q and was holding, you know, the people at Flowery Branch hostage until they made the trade for Deshaun Watson. But, you know, the stated plan has been seemingly all along from Arthur Smith and company that they're going to build up the roster and then go get the quarterback. And to me, That is the smart play for the Falcons. That to me is the best bet that the Falcons can make. And we'll talk about why that is a better bet than going all in on Lamar Jackson as we continue today's episode, guys. But before we get there, I want to tell you about Locked On NFL Podcast. We thank you guys for making Locked On Falcons your first listen, but for your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL Podcast, free and available on all the same podcast platforms that you're listening or watching Locked On Falcons, and you're getting all the breakdowns on every story, every team going around the NFL. So make sure you subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. And guys, I want to tell you about the number one source for your sports betting info. And that is, of course, betonline.net. They are that number one source for info, stats, news, analysis, and podcast, since I know you love your sports podcast. And if you're looking for this upcoming weekend's playoff action, you know, the Chiefs are favorites over the Jaguars, the Eagles, 7.5-point favorites over the Giants, Chiefs are 9-point favorites over the Jaguars, the Bills are 5-point favorites over the Bengals. Last week, I talked about how I love betting against first-time playoff quarterbacks. And, I kind of avoided the Saturday games because it was all first-time playoff quarterbacks. Daniel Jones wound up ruining my three-team parlay on Sunday. Shout out to Daniel Jones for ruining those dreams, beating the playoff veteran Kirk Cousins. Of course, I should have known better than betting on the fraudulent Minnesota Vikings. Been frauds all season long, and they got shown up in the postseason. So I will learn more and apply that same reasoning this weekend at BetOnline, or improved reasoning at BetOnline. And it's not just for football. It's for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, esports, everything. So head to the website today at betonline.net. Use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. So what's interesting about the Falcons' so-called plan is, when Arthur Smith has been asked, and he talked about this after the 2021 draft when they passed on the quarterback then, he talked about this the combine week of last year before they made the play for Deshaun Watson. Again, just fueling the fire of why that seemed to be an Arthur Blank move as opposed to Arthur Smith engineered move. But, you know, he was asked about why the Falcons hadn't, you know, gone after these quarterbacks. And he basically stated, like, it's not just getting the quarterback and then building the team around him. You know, the other path is to build up the team and then go get the quarterback. And for me personally, I think that's a better plan given where the Falcons are. I feel like the Falcons had an opportunity to go get the quarterback and then build the team around him. And we're seeing the Chicago Bears enact that plan. And we'll see if they're more successful or less successful than the Falcons moving forward. I've joked with other people that they're kind of the alternate reality Falcons at this point in time. Building up the team and then going get the quarterback certainly is not a surefire guaranteed to work plan, guys. And I don't want anybody to come away from today's episode thinking that I'm saying that, right? But I do think it's a better bet, because I think mostly it gives you flexibility, right? The problem with going all in on Lamar Jackson, and this is what the Denver Broncos are feeling, and to a lesser extent teams like the Arizona Cardinals and Indianapolis Colts that fired their coach, is you can't course correct, right? You look at the Browns and Kevin Stefanski potentially being on the hot seat next year. Right, you can't course correct, because basically ownership is going to look at their contracts, these quarterback contracts, and say these contracts are guaranteed. We can't get rid of that guy. We can't get rid of Russell Wilson. We can't get rid of Deshaun Watson. But if we're going to get rid of somebody, it's not going to be the quarterback because of the salary cap. You know, even though it's a lie, right? But there are rules. You can't break the rules, right? No one's saying that there aren't rules, right? But someone's got to go, right? It can't be the quarterback because of the salary cap. So we're looking at you, coach, right? And so, it's not to sit here and say that, you know, rolling with Desmond Ridder is guaranteed job security. It's not, right? But it gives you flexibility, right? Because if Desmond Ridder's not the guy this year, guess what? You're still in the position to get a quarterback next year. You're not stuck for the next 5 years with Lamar Jackson, right? And to me, the analogy I would use is it's like being at midfield. And I say midfield because you don't have the talent yet on the team to get closer to the end zone. And it's a choice. Like Desmond Ridder is essentially punting, right? Where he's like, okay, well, or assuming Desmond Ridder falls apart, right? Is essentially punting, right? And you say, okay, we'll get the ball back eventually and we'll get another crack at it. And hopefully we'll have a better situation to score then. Versus Lamar Jackson, which is a Hail Mary, a low percentage play. And to me, the Falcons aren't in a position to try to throw the ball into the end zone because they're at midfield, because they don't have the talent, right? And the goal is to continue to build up the roster which is going to put you in a situation where you can throw in the end zone because it's going to be fourth and goal, right? Where you do have the talent where you can make that play, right? Again, you're not going to sit there and say, hey, fourth and nine, fourth and goal from the 9 yard line is a guaranteed high percentage play, but at least it's a much better odds that you're going to throw that ball into the end zone and get that touchdown, right? Than you are trying to throw that football from midfield. And so that's kind of how I see it. Now, one of the arguments for why the Falcons should trade for Lamar Jackson is going to be quarterbacks of his caliber don't come available very often. And, you know, that's a debatable point because a lot of that depends on how highly you think of Lamar Jackson. I think pretty highly of Lamar Jackson, but I put him in that sort of Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford sort of tier, top 10 quarterback. You can win a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan, to me, was in that tier of quarterback throughout his career as well. Guys that you can win a Super Bowl with, but aren't necessarily going to be the guys that are going to carry your football team, right? Or carry bad football teams. And, you know, personally, I kind of think Desmond Ritter's ceiling is potentially there. I feel like Desmond Ritter has the potential to get there. You know, will he get there? Again, that's a maybe question. The odds aren't necessarily stacked in his favor. History kind of tells us there's maybe the 15 to 20% chance that he can get there. Dak Prescott got there as a fourth round pick. Maybe, you know, Russell Wilson got there as a third round pick, but you know, 80, 85% chance probably that Desmond Ritter, most, you know, third round picks don't get there. Right. So I don't sit here and say, oh, Desmond Ritter's definitely going to get there. But I sit here and I go like, you know, I don't have a problem with those odds. I'm willing to play with those odds because I feel like trading for Lamar Jackson, you're basically trading for a piece that you feel like is the final piece of the puzzle, because that's basically what the Rams did with Matt Stafford. It worked for them, but I don't think that's a blueprint that a lot of teams can follow. I think that only worked for the Rams because they had already built up their roster. They already had a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense without Matt Stafford, and he was the final piece of the puzzle. And until the Falcons build a similar thing, to me, it just doesn't make any sense for them to go all in on Lamar Jackson. And you're basically, you know, making the bet that you're basically a quarterback and one free agent class away. But we'll circle back to that. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, why Lamar Jackson is going to become available. Because part of this is, you know, when we talk about the rarity of Lamar Jackson, I should say, like, there's a possibility that Lamar Jackson may be available in the future when the Falcons have built up their roster. So that notion of, you know, his type of quarterback is rare, I don't quite buy into. And the other point I'd make is I do think that type of quarterback is, I won't say readily available in the draft, but most years is producing that caliber of quarterback, right? It's the Mahomes, Allen, Herbert tier that is uncommon. And for the most part, nobody knows who those guys are going to be. That's the crapshoot nature of the draft, but we'll leave that aside. The reason why Lamar Jackson is going to be available this year is going back to the notion that the Ravens and him have not agreed to terms on the contract. And so the next steps for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens is, you know, the next step is going to be applying the non-exclusive franchise tag to Lamar Jackson, right? That's going to cost them $45 million, right? And then Lamar Jackson can become available and get the fully guaranteed contract if he plays the same game, that franchise tag game, as some people call it, that Kirk Cousins played a couple of years ago, right? Because the Ravens can tag him basically twice. They can tag him this year for $45 million, next year with a 20% increase for $54 million, but they probably can't tag him a third time because at that point, the increase goes to 44%, giving Lamar Jackson a $78 million cap hit in 2025. That feels very untenable, right? You know, they would have to basically gut their roster, basically defeating the whole purpose of paying Lamar Jackson all that money in order to afford that. And so essentially Lamar Jackson can just keep playing on the tag and eventually he'll be free, so to speak, in 2025 to be an unrestricted free agent. Right. And the thing that Joe Corey said on a podcast he did last month in December that was notable is the reason why Kirk Cousins was able to get a fully guaranteed contract from the Vikings is because he was able to hit the open market and had multiple teams bidding for him. The reason why Deshaun Watson was able to get that fully guaranteed contract from the Browns last year is while he technically wasn't a free agent, he had multiple teams bidding for him. Lamar Jackson's going to need to have multiple teams bidding for him. Now, that may happen this offseason if the Ravens say we're open for business. If the Ravens are basically, we're not, then we won't have multiple teams, and Lamar Jackson's going to have to play this franchise tag game. And then eventually, maybe the Falcons can circle back to this conversation when they are in that fourth and goal situation, as I put it. So the Ravens essentially have three options, in my opinion. And of course, Locked On Ravens is going to be the better source for how this is going to play out and break down. There are three options. It's really two, because the first option is they give Lamar Jackson the fully guaranteed money that he wants, which if they weren't willing to really do that 6 months ago, I don't think anything has happened in the last 6 months that's going to change their opinion on that front. So I don't really think that's a realistic option, but technically it does exist. The two main options that they have is basically, given this situation, if they play this franchise tag game, that basically means they have 2 years to make it work with Lamar and try to win it all. They can go all in for the next 2 years and try to run it back and put the right pieces around him and do all these things, add another weapons, all these various things to make it work, right? And I think that would probably be their preferred strategy, but we'll see. The other option is, of course, opening themselves up for business and saying, you know, we are open for business and you can come get Lamar because we know that this window is closing. And so therefore it's better for us to sort of, you know, make the move now, make that transition now and collect the assets and reset this whole thing moving forward. You know, and that may be a choice that they may make. And that's going to be sort of the big topic that is discussed over and over and over again for the next, you know, several weeks and months about Lamar Jackson. Right. So, you know, let's circle back to the beginning of this episode and talk about the will or they should, right? I think there's a real possibility that, you know, I'm sitting here 5 weeks from now, or whatever, doing an emergency podcast saying Falcons have traded for Lamar Jackson. And frankly, I will understand if this regime decides to make that choice. I won't agree with it, but I will understand it because they are basically playing the not for long game. And they're like, yeah, we don't have a plan. We're just figuring it out. And we're willing to go all in on this move because, you know, there's pressure from above or whatever. We're just trying to win games, right? I will understand it. And for me, as someone as on a podcast, I will get it because my job is not on the line. I can sit here and say, I think this is a bad plan because I don't have any pressure, guys. Right? You know, last I checked my contract with the Locked On Network, there are not incentives attached to how good the Falcons are based off my job security is not based off of that. Right. So like if the Falcons succeed or fail, I'm going to still be here doing the podcast. Right. You know, I have pretty good job security. Right. You know, some petitions out there would lead you to disagree with that. But, you know, so I will get it if the team does make the move. I just won't agree with it because to me, I want to see this team build a long-term success, sustainable success year after year after year. And to me, trading for Lamar Jackson is not going to allow them to do that. That is an all-in move that you're basically, again, betting that you're a top 10 quarterback and one free agent class away. Because, and the, part of the reason why I say that, guys, is I feel like I've seen this movie before. I think you guys have seen this movie before, right? This is essentially the same mistake that a previous regime made when they went all in on Julio Jones. And again, I'm not saying that was a bad trade, but they went all in on the middle of the day. They pushed all their chips in the table, believing that that player was going to be the piece that got him over the hump. And frankly, it did get him over the hump of winning a playoff game. It did not give him over the hump of winning a Super Bowl, right? Because ultimately they ran into a buzzsaw by the name of the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game who had a better football team than they did. And right, Julio was the main reason why they were able to build that lead in that game and be in a position to win that game late, right? So I don't say that it was a bad trade based off of that, but to me, they were both good and bad. Julio gave them, got them over the hump to winning a playoff game and putting them in the position to potentially go to the Super Bowl. But the downside of that trade is when that didn't work, they didn't have that safety net, right? They didn't have that flexibility. They couldn't course correct because they whiffed on those draft classes that they traded all those assets for Julio, right? And then as their team aged out, Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, John Abraham, Jonathan Babineau, those core pieces started to age out, retire, get cut, decline. They didn't have the assets anymore to replace those guys, right? And so to me, I've seen this movie before, guys. I've seen how this ends. And to me, this you're just doing the same thing. You're going all in with Lamar Jackson. And if it doesn't work, if it doesn't click in the next year or two, guess what? When Grady Jarrett and Jake Matthews are aging out, or declining in a couple of years, you're not going to have the assets to replace him. You're basically making the bet that you've already built up the roster, that you know, Lamar Jackson plus Kyle Pitts plus Drake London is all you need to build that top five, top 10 offense for sustainable future. That the free agent signings that you add this offseason are all you need to build up that top 10 defense, right? And that, you know, the thing about free agency is it's not long-term, guys, like draft picks are, right? You're not getting 7 to 10 years of, you know, these free agents like you are with AJ Terrell with those first-round picks and Kyle Pitts and whatnot, or at least have the potential to get that, right? You're getting – and so you're not going to have the assets to replace these guys if these free agents don't work out. That's why, to me, it's a bad bet, right? Doesn't mean that it won't improve. Doesn't mean, you know, Lamar Jackson certainly would put this team, you know, as I wouldn't say a surefire, but as a front runner to make the playoffs next year. But then what? Right? What happens if you get bounced in the second round of the playoffs by a better football team like the Philadelphia Eagles because you can't hang in the trenches because you don't have the pieces? Then what? So again, I sit here and I say, I feel like I've seen this movie before. It didn't work out for the Falcons. Then I don't think it's going to work out this time. And so we'll see, right? So to me, if I'm this regime, or at least I'm advising this regime, I'm getting Arthur Smith, Rich McKay, and Terry Fontenot in a room. And I'm sitting here saying, let's be patient. Let's build this. Let's solidify this foundation. Let's use the next year or two to really solidify this foundation so that we can have sustainable success, you know, in the back half of this decade, rather than just going all in trying to win a Super Bowl in 2023 or 2024. And basically putting ourselves in a position where we're going to have to be rebuilding this thing again 3 or 4 years from now because it didn't work out with a brand new regime. So that would be what I would like to see this team go. But obviously my job is not on the line. And, you know, that probably doesn't put butts in the seat. So we'll see how this team handles that conversation and that question. You know, this is not going to go away, but wanted to talk about this on today's episode because later this week we're going to talk about the quarterbacks. And this is, again, this is a whole conversation that I've done my best to condense in under 40 minutes. But like that was just not something that we could handle in a 5-minute conversation. And of course, Ben Albright sort of tweeting that and people going in a frenzy over the last 24 hours since he tweeted that, you know, I think justified taking this deeper dive. So this is not the last conversation. I'm pretty sure this will not be the end of the Lamar Jackson conversation over the next couple of weeks. But that is sort of, to me, in a nutshell, of where I think this team should be headed. Of course, the obvious question is that where this team will be headed? Time will tell on that front. But where we will be headed on tomorrow's episode, we'll be joined by Alan Sterk. Maybe pick his brain on this particular subject, as well as other ones, the Falcons defensive coordinator search, what he liked or did not like about the season, what he wants to see this team do, invest in free agency and in the draft. So we'll get into all of that on tomorrow's episode. Make sure you check out Locked On Falcons as your first listen so that you can catch that episode. And of course, for your second listen, check out Locked On NFL, Locked On Sports Atlanta, Locked On Hawks, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs, all that and more, guys, here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.